Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we do answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we're not experts. We're just podcast hosts. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
If you would like to reach us, you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message at 781-591-0390. And you can email us or send us a voicemail at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And do remember to visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. Please do follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod and on Instagram at Forever35Podcast and join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/group/Forever35Podcast, where the password is serums.
You know, things have really been bumping and bopping over on the Instagram.
They have been.
A lot of discussions in the comments happening.
Yep.
A lot of sharing.
A lot of sharing.
Yeah, we're talking about underwear today.
Yeah.
So head on over. Great. Head on over.
Head
if you want to talk
on
in the
over.
Dori, okay. Yes. I want to just pop in with a cozy romance book rec.
Love it.
Okay. It's a book I really enjoyed.
Okay.
It's called Accidentally Engaged by Farah Haran.
Okay.
And it's just a delightful treat of a rom-com.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Okay. Well, the main character is a woman who lives in Toronto. And, you know, while it is a romance, it also focuses a lot on her kind of challenging, contentious, but also loving relationship with her Indian Muslim family. And they try to kind of arrange a marriage with a guy. And when she finds out, she's like, absolutely not. But then coincidentally, he moves in across the hall from her. And of course, he's gorgeous and fun.
Hello.
And charming and flirty. And
we love a gorgeous neighbor.
Oh, we do, don't we? Don't we love a gorgeous neighbor?
We do.
And they bond, and there's just like a wonderful through line with baking and cooking. And I just don't want to give anything else away, but I just want to give it a hearty recommendation. And I also need to say, and I think, have I told you like the kind of sexy twist in the book? It's not a twist, but like sexy detail. Did I tell you it?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you off the air because I don't want to spoil it, but there's a sexy twist that if you have heard me talk in this podcast, you might not think I'd be into, but I was into it.
Oh, my curiosity is piqued. Wow. Y'all, Kate just told me what the twist is. And listen.
Aren't you surprised that I like that?
I am very, very surprised. And in fact, I see it as a sign of your continued evolution and maturity and open-mindedness to new things.
My growth as a human.
Yes, your growth as a human. That I you can this, appreciate this particular twist.
Yes, I really hope that all this vague talk gets people to read the book because I really love it.
You know, Kate, I once went on a date with a neighbor.
Oh, you did? How did it go? I mean, obviously, you're not married to them, so.
No, I'm not. It didn't go great. I think it did go great. And then, you know, then I would see him around the building. I briefly lived, when I lived in Philadelphia, I briefly lived in like a pretty large apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like we lived in a brownstone where he was like upstairs from me. But
that'd be rough.
But yeah, I would still occasionally run into him. And I was like,
so you went on one date?
I think we went on one date. We might have gone on two dates. I don't recall.
I don't think I've ever dated a neighbor, but I have done a coworker.
Oh, that's all, honey.
I know you've been there and done that, Lori.
I've been
don't
there
worry.
And done that. And I mean, if there's one thing that I hope people take away from my book, it is whatever. I mean, look, I know people end up marrying coworkers, and I know that probably we have lots of listeners who met their partners at work. Mm-hmm. But for me, this was not a great, these were, I did it more than once. And I didn't learn my lesson until, you know, things went really badly. And even then I didn't really learn my lesson.
Like you get, like, at least in my experience, I got dumped and then I had to go in and work with this person
yes,
the next day.
It sucks. It sucks. Yeah. And you know what? It actually also sucks when you are the dumper.
Oh, I'm sure. I bet.
I've been on both sides. It's such a bad idea. But
Dory, it's so good, especially in a romance. There's nothing I love more.
Of course.
Than a
and you know what?
Romance.
When it's good, it's good. And like a lot of times it's kind of secret,
yeah,
which lends everything like this kind of heightens the sexiness because you can't like some workplaces, you're not allowed to date coworkers.
And like you just imagine like a really hot night. Maybe even a morning, and then you both like get dressed in your business casual and go into work, and you have
yeah,
to
yeah, but like separately.
Yeah,
I mean,
but then you like pass each other in the hall. Oh,
yeah,
so
like there,
so
and everything just feels charged.
Mm.
And you know, especially if you're at a job that's sort of meh, having someone in your workplace that you're like excited about makes things better. But like, man, when it goes bad, it goes really bad. I don't know. I guess the takeaway should be proceed with caution.
Yeah, but if you have a great or a terrible work romance story, you got to tell us.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell mine on the air because I want people to read my book and
yeah, it's in
learn
your book.
About all my terrible work romances.
Look, you live and you learn. You love, you learn. You lose, you learn. There's something else that Alanis Morissette wrote,
yes.
But you know what I'm saying. You do all those things and you learn.
You know what? Speaking of Alanis, I actually had a question that I would like to pose to the listeners of this podcast. Who is a person, probably an artist, but doesn't necessarily have to be, that when you were like a teenager or a young adult, you thought you were like too cool for, and now as a grown person, you can appreciate them,
you know,
because
what?
For me, that person is Alanis.
Same. I hated that album when it came out, and now I'm always like bebopping around to her music.
Yes, and like I really like admire her, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And think you know she was really like brave and interesting. My brother really liked her, which like automatically made her uncool in my eyes. But now I really like her. I even went to see her, the show, the Jagged Little Pill Broadway show, like 3 months before lockdown. I saw it on Broadway. It was really,
wow.
It was great. Yeah, I know.
That's a
so
great.
So I'm curious. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a really great question because there, that's such a specific experience that we all probably have as youth.
Yes. Yes, totally. So, just wondering who that person was for you, dear listener.
Because it's going to be different per generation. Dory.
Exactly. Like a lot of our listeners, I feel like, are probably a little younger than us. So I'm wondering who that person was for them.
Dory, I do want to ask, because you seem to have a rant that you want to share. And you know I love when you rant.
Okay. I'm just going to preface this rant by saying that this is not an original rant. People have been ranting about this for years. I'm not the first, nor will I be the last to rant about this. But for some reason, this really just like got to me today. I've been trying to find a pair of jeans And I've just been like striking out. And this has nothing to do with like the skinny, straight, blah, blah, blah,
right.
Z, Gen Z thing. It's just like, I don't have a pair of jeans right now that I like really love that fit well. And like, I haven't really been wearing jeans that much because we've been in lockdown. And lately I've been like, I would just like a nice fitting pair of jeans. So I actually am more interested in straight leg jeans right now than skinny jeans, because skinny jeans are just so like restrictive. Mm-hmm. So I Googled straight jeans with stretch was what I Googled.
Okay.
And I came upon a link to an article with like a list of straight jeans. And from there I found the web. I went to Page Denim, which is a brand that I never worn before, but I've heard, you know, people like this brand and whatever. I was open to it. So I clickety clack on over to their website, and they have many styles. But as I'm clicking through, I'm like, oh, these are cute. And then they have the thing where it's like, model is like such and such tall and wears this size. Every single model was 5'9" and a size 24.
That's bonkers.
24.
Yeah.
And like, look, this, first of all, Page Denim is not a size inclusive brand to begin with. Their biggest size is 32, which is not that big. Oh. But even within the sizes that they offer, they only showed models who were size 24. And, you know, it was especially glaring because I feel like there have been some other brands that have been really making progress on this front. Like Madewell, for example, is showing more models with like different size bodies. Athleta, I was looking on their website for something, like they're showing models with different size bodies. So there are like big kind of mainstream brands that are doing this and making an effort and slowly becoming more size inclusive. Target, so I was just kind of like, this is annoying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was just annoyed.
Well, because even when brands have a broader size range and are more size inclusive, when they still just show an image of one size, it's not helpful. And it's almost more annoying. I would rather not know. If you're going to show me one model and they all look the same and they all are very thin and very tall, that's not helpful. I'm 5'9" and it does not help me to know, or I'm actually 5'10" and I'm not wearing a size 24. Doesn't help me in the least. You need to see the piece of clothing on numerous body shapes and sizes.
You know what also cracked me up about this is that they've clearly they have a dark skinned model. They have a light skinned model. Like they have someone who appears to be of Asian descent. So they've clearly thought about like quote unquote diversity in some regards. But then when it comes to sizing, they haven't thought about it at all.
It's funny you mentioned this because someone somewhere just shared a tweet that spoke to this, and it also made me chuckle, but also spoke to the kind of annoyance I've been feeling whenever because I have been looking at clothes with the possibility that we'll be reemerging in person again soon.
Yeah.
And again, we can say we wear quote unquote straight sizes and find this annoying. So it's just so fucking frustrating.
It's very annoying. So anyway,
I mentioned that to acknowledge the privileged position we're in of just being able
to wear the clothes
that are mostly offered.
I also think that's why it's important for people like us who are in straight sizes to speak up about this.
Yes,
like it shouldn't just be the burden of people who don't wear straight sizes to always be talking about this. Like we should also be talking about it. So
amen. I mean, I'm looking, for example, I was on Shopbop. Everyone's.
Yep.
Yep. There's nothing. Like I would like to see a dress with tiny spaghetti straps on a person with big ass saggy 40-year-old boobs. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Help us out.
Oh, God.
Okay. Wow.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to just dust myself off, get down off the soapbox.
Climb down your ladder.
Climb down. All right, I'm down. Thank you all for listening. And we're going to take a break.
Yes, we are. We are. We're going to cool down. And when we come back, we have a lot of advice for a listener who was having a hard time establishing boundaries with their boss.
Yeah, we got so many great responses.
We did.
All right, be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Y'all, I was in head to toe quince the other day, and I have never felt better. This is not an exaggeration. I loved my entire outfit, and it was literally everything was from Quince.
Wow. Did you deliberately go head to toe Quince, or just was like, oh, I want to wear this. I want to wear this. And then you were like, oh, I'm in head to toe Quince.
All right.
Let me tell you
what happened. Okay. So I knew I wanted to put on, I have these pants from Quince that I'm obsessed with. They're called the French Terry Modal wide leg pant. They're so comfortable and they look really stylish. So they like feel like you're wearing a comfy sweat, but they're like a gorgeous flowy pant. And my child complimented them. It was wild.
Wow.
And then I was like, you know what? It's warm out, but it's also kind of chilly. What could I wear? And I have a zip up cashmere hoodie from Quince. And I was like, well, I'll put this on. And then I was like, LOL, I'm in all Quince. I might as well just put on this Quince white t-shirt that I have. Because I wanted a white t-shirt. So the t-shirt, I was like, you know, I was kind of like, tee-hee, only I know I'm in head-to-toe Quince. But I share this to share, like, one, how much I just love their pieces and how much use I get out of them. Because I like to be comfortable, but I also want to look, like, slightly put together. And I just feel like either individually or on their own, all my items from Quince just work.
Okay. I love that for you.
They travel beautifully. I have a really beautiful linen dress from Quince that travels really well. They have washable silk tops, 14 karat jewelry. And the best part, you know, with Quince is that all items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they partner directly with top factories, which means Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass those savings on to us. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Quince.
They also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I really love that. I love my products from Quince. And you know what? Dare I say, I looked good. So whether you want to be cozy or get warm weather ready, do it with Quince. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35.
We're back. I mean, I said this before the break, but I just loved how many people had thoughts about this and good thoughts.
Yeah, really helpful things that I was like, oh God, I wish someone had told me this.
I know. I know. And as you know, as two people who haven't worked in an office for quite some time, it was helpful to get these perspectives.
Yeah. And also because we do manage people.
We do.
Small team. And it's helpful to hear, to remember, you know, the side of the
totally. TV.
All right. Here was a response we got. Hi, this is Lauren from Atlanta, texting in response to the listener who has a problem with her boss having unrealistic expectations about work. I have lived this for the past 7 years at my current job, and it's not cured, but I would say it's more manageable. This is difficult for most of us, and understand I'm coming to you as a recovering perfectionist, former overachiever, and all-around competitive person. But the answer is that some of the work just doesn't get done. That's the only way your boss will understand that you're serious. I don't think your boss understands that her to-do list has to go on top of the to-do list you already have. For my boss, I've started giving her a menu of sorts. Quote, yes, I can do that today, but here are the other things I have to do today, and one is likely going to be pushed to tomorrow. Which thing should it be? My boss especially likes this because she likes to think she's helping me. I don't think you have to be confrontational if that's not your style or your relationship with your boss. You can just ask for help and be honest about how much time these tasks take up. Give your boss the quote, when you know better, you do better chance, and then maybe move on to some more serious options like HR. Best of luck to you. It's not easy, but you deserve better. So keep pushing.
I love this advice, although it did give me like flashbacks to this idea that so much of the time with managers, at least for me, I felt like I had to kind of like inception them to make them think that things were their idea. Even if they were my idea, so that they would have like buy-in. And that gets like really exhausting. And that I was sort of reminded of that when this person said, my boss especially likes this because she likes to think she's helping me. And like, yes, she does. And this works. And like, that's great. But it's also like, you're just constantly playing this game. And It's just a drain. So I'm not disagreeing with this advice at all. I'm just noting the emotional and psychological toll that this can take on one.
I agree with you, Dory. And that speaks to kind of a larger problem of like the manager-employee relationship, which is tough sometimes.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, a lot of managers just become managers because they got promoted. Not to keep bringing everything back to my book, but this is something that I also talk about in my book. When I was a manager, I didn't know how to be a manager. I was a bad manager.
Well, yeah, managing people is a skill. It's not something we inherently know how to do.
And no,
you're but right. Like people are just thrown into that position.
People are just thrown in, and it is like held up as sort of the next logical step in one's career, when in fact, it's not like right for everyone.
No.
Sorry. I have a soapbox about this clearly.
You just have a stack of boxes that you are climbing all over today.
Let me just keep taking them out.
All right. Well, here was a really, I thought a very helpful, kind of along those lines. suggestion. This listener wrote, "This has happened to me, and the way I addressed it was by making a list of everything on my plate and then during a one-on-one meeting asking my boss which of these items or project she'd like me to prioritize. It made it clear to her all that I was juggling and put the onus on her to lay out a game plan for which things to tackle first, second, third, etc. If I didn't get to the seventh item on the list, she couldn't be surprised because she had told me items 1 to 6 were more important." So this is kind of along those lines of the previous listener's idea, but I do feel like this is less of the mind game and more just like, hey, this is all the shit I have to do.
Yeah.
You tell me what you want me to do you're the boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not you're here right. to read your mind and figure out which what order to do all this shit in.
Yep. I like yep. This. Yep. 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 Yeah.
All right. Next email.
All right. "I used to work in a big law firm where this was a constant issue, and I picked up some habits that really helped. Most of them are basically ways to reframe the narrative. Frame the problem as the number of hours in the day, not your work-life balance, which makes it a you problem. If you have 25 hours of work assigned to you, you simply cannot finish it by tomorrow. This is not a struggle between you and your boss. You are protecting your employer from missed deadlines and subpar work done by an exhausted, rushed person. Have conversations about workload from that perspective. Bam! Now you and your boss share the goal of managing resources, your limited time, efficiently. Instead of saying no, think about the circumstances under which you could realistically say yes. I have 2 hours I can give to this today, then I will need to turn back to Project X, or I can help with that starting next Wednesday. Even better, put the choice on the boss. Here are the projects currently on my plate. Which of these is the priority and which will be delayed, scaled down, or given to someone else?"
I like all of these. I really like the put it on the boss plan.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of, we heard from a boss.
We did. All right. "I had to write in and respond to the listener who asked for tips on how to manage her boss who encroaches on work-life balance because I am that boss. No, I'm not that listener's literal boss, but as a first-time manager, I've had many conversations with my team about work-life balance only to turn around and ask them for an urgent task. Thankfully, I've gotten a lot better over the past year thanks to a lot of discipline and some great feedback from my team. Here are the tips that have helped. 1. Be patient. We often forget how long it takes to get up to speed in a new job. Keep in mind that what may take you an hour now in 6 months will only take you 15 minutes, but that's not a solution. So here are my actual recommendations. I have so many more, but these are my top 3. 1. Plan ahead. If you know that you always send newsletters on Tuesdays and your boss makes you stay late on Monday to finish, plan ahead. Schedule a recurring meeting with her every Monday evening to review feedback and finalize the newsletter. If there's a big meeting coming up, schedule prep time a week in advance. 2. Reprioritize in writing. If your manager asks you to do a new task, confirm in writing that other tasks will slip as a result. This can be as simple as a follow-up email. Having it in writing helps if you get asked why something isn't complete on the original deadline. 3. Discuss work styles. There are great templates out there, many in Forever 35 careers, around working norms, including after-hours contact preferences. Proactively fill one of those in and bring it to your manager in your next one-on-one. It will be a tough conversation, but having everything written out in advance can give you the courage to follow through with that conversation. And finally, if she texts you on the weekend, subtly recommend this podcast episode to her.
Yes, do that. She may really like our chit-chat about Alanis Morissette.
Yes, yes, indeed. I love that this listener was like self-aware enough to recognize themselves in the other listener's email.
Well, I know having been a manager and also having been a person who works with other teams where I don't like fully understand the work they do, it can be very easy to assume something will take 2 seconds that actually takes 2 weeks. And so it's on like the person in the kind of managerial position to understand that they don't know what they don't know, but also it's up to the other person to have to kind of articulate it and explain it, I think, because I've definitely been in that situation where I'm like, it shouldn't take that long to ... I also really love the suggestion of putting everything in writing.
Yes.
That like makes me horny. Like, oh, yes, get it. I don't know why I chose that word, but it's like, yes, always get it in writing. Mm-hmm. Get it in writing, because that is one way to have your own back so solidly.
Totally.
Especially when you in a position where you don't often have a lot of agency.
I completely agree. And employment lawyers around the country would also agree.
Yes, I'm sure they would. And that is a mistake I have made many times, of not having stuff in writing.
And conversely, they would say, don't put anything in writing that you don't want revealed.
Yes. Yes. People can look at your corporate work emails and they will.
And they will.
All right. Shudder to think, but.
and your Slacks. And, you know, and if you have a work phone, they can look at anything you've done on that phone. So, like, you know, just, yes, it probably won't happen, but it might.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So just, you know, think about it. All right. Mm. We're going to take another break, and then we're getting into some totally different topics.
The gears, they shall shift.
Indeed. All right. Be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, we have returned. Did you miss us?
I did, personally.
Oh, that's so nice.
Missed you, Dory. Mm. I mean, I've only seen you like 2 to 3 times in the last year in real life, so.
I know.
I haven't seen Sam in a year. I texted same. Sammy and I was like, when we're all fully vaccinated, can we all hang out?
Imagine
Sammy
that.
Sammy was like, never. No.
Yes. No, Sammy didn't say that.
No, I was just joking. Yes. Sammy, of course, said yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Nobody needed that side note, but you got it. Okay. Shall I read this email received, Dory?
Please.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am a middle school teacher in Los Angeles, and we are finally going back into the classroom in a few weeks. I was wondering if there were any teachers out there who are already back doing in-person teaching that can share some recommendations for things to get to prepare to be back at school. Specifically, I really want to know what masks people have found that are breathable and comfortable to wear 8+ hours a day. All of the masks I have are fine for short periods of time, but I have yet to find one that works for hikes, exercising, talking a lot, etc. Do either of you have any face mask recommendations? Would love to hear what people have been using and loving. Thanks. And I just want to say I sent this teacher a crazy personal email that was like, I'm so glad we're all going back to school in Los Angeles. You're amazing. Bye. Oh, and this listener also asked, P.S., Dory, what is your current hair routine? I think we have similar hair, and I'm always trying to find a good volumizing shampoo and just overall hair care routine. Okay, so Dory, what is your face mask reco?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying that this is a disposable mask, which, you know, some people might have concerns about environmentally, as do I, but I do think that it offers the best protection. And it's like surprisingly breathable. So I've been using Dr. Puri KF94 face masks. They have been deemed essentially comparable to the N95. They're the South Korean equivalent of the N95. So I buy them from a website that sounds fake called BeHealthyUSA.net.
That does sound fake.
Totally sounds fake, but it is not. You could probably find them somewhere else, but that is just where I've been buying them. They come in medium and large. I wear the mediums. They come in white and black. I've been wearing white for no particular reason. I think the black have been sold out. But yeah, I like them a lot. I don't know how they would be for exercising, however.
Yeah.
But I feel pretty confident that you could wear this for 8 hours a day and be okay.
Does it wrap around your ears or your head?
Ears.
Okay.
But you could get one of those clips, one of those mask clips, to make it one of the ones that wrap around your head.
Dory, I'm going to have to list this in our show notes because I don't have the exact link, but I bought some KN94s, I think.
KN95s.
Okay. So I think they were not 95s. They were KN90 or KF94s. They were KF94s.
Okay. So what I just bought.
They were either KN or KF94s. And I got
the KNs. I think the KNs are 95s, but. And the KFs are 94s, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not either. Not experts on masks, but I will say I got some similar to you, but they go around the head because Anthony had to wear them on set for 10 to 12 hours a day while he was working. And the ones that went behind his ears were giving him headaches. So I found some that he really liked that wrapped around the back of his head that he found to be comfortable. Now, does he exercise in them? No. But did he have to wear them for a long day and talk in them? Yes.
Matt was wearing KN95s when he was on set as well. And they also went around his head, I think, same reason.
The ears are a tender spot. That's true. I can tell you that myself and my kids like these are also disposable. I also have the same concerns as Dory, but right now I'm going for just whatever the F works. And I will apologize to the earth. We wear Evolve Together masks. My kids really like them. They make a kid size. That's what my kids have been wearing to their small cohort aftercare thing that they've gone to. And they can wear those, they're wearing those for 3 to 4 hours at a time very comfortably. And I find them to be very comfortable. That's kind of what I now just wear out and about. Sometimes I'll double it up or I'll wear the 94 ones that we bought. But I do I'll link to the Evolve Togethers. I like those.
Okay.
Good luck back to school, friends.
Yeah. On to hair care. So I have been using, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I've been using Brio Gio's Blossom and Bloom Volumizing Collection. I got a big old bottle of their shampoo, big old bottle of their conditioner. I love it. I even Brio like how it smells. And you know that I usually don't like anything like personal care related that has a scent.
Oh, I do.
So I feel like that's saying a lot. So I do like that. And then I think I mentioned this also that I recently got my hair cut and my hairstylist had a bunch of suggestions for my hair, which I told her that lately I prefer to air dry. So her suggestion was to bring my wide tooth comb into the shower and comb my hair in the shower, then put it up in a microfiber towel. Then when I remove the microfiber towel, to not brush it again, but just let it air dry. Like sometimes I run my fingers through it a couple times, but I don't comb or brush it. And then she said, once it's dry, and I told her that I had a Dyson Airwrap. So she said, once it's dry, I could air wrap it a few times. She said it works on dry hair. I've not done this yet, but I might give it a shot. So I think if you have any sort of, flat iron or curling iron or something that you use to put a wave in your hair, you could try that. But if you don't want to do the heat styling, don't. That's what I've been doing. And I do think air drying has made my hair healthier.
Okay. You heard it right there from the expert's mouth.
From the Harris's mouth. Okay.
Oh my God.
I know that was really bad. That was so bad.
That was so bad.
That was like my level bad.
I know. That was really bad.
Just going to own it. It was
we
bad.
We need human interaction soon.
We do. We really
do. The
Harris's mouth. Who am I?
God. I mean,
I'm embarrassed.
Okay. No, don't All right. be. Don't be. All right, last one. Do we have enough time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, Kate and Dory. As I'm re-entering the world, I've been going for walks around my city parks. I've been noticing many of the women in the park seem to be carrying nothing on them as they run or walk. What do they all do with their keys, wallet, phone, etc.? Also, are women not carrying pepper spray? I don't feel comfortable leaving my valuables in my car, but I feel naked without them. I've been stashing them in my jacket, but soon it'll be too warm to do that. I would love yours or any listener's input on what stuff they take for runs and where they put it. Thank you so much.
You need a running belt.
Okay. I like a running belt for running.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a fanny pack, but kind of engineered for running. Mm-hmm. So it's sleeker and sits a little tighter. When I was running a lot, I had one. I also had one that had, water bottles attached to it.
Oh God. I used to wear those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend. I have never carried pepper spray.
Me neither.
So I don't know if that's like naive of me or just whatever, but I personally have never carried pepper spray. I also don't love running or walking at night. I feel like I used to? I don't remember. I feel like I was usually a daytime runner. Okay, and usually, okay. And you know, when I was running a lot, I was in New York and usually running on like in pretty populated areas. I think if yeah. I were running on like deserted country roads or I don't know, deserted suburban roads, like mm-hmm. I would maybe be a little more nervous ? So yeah, but my main suggestion is to get a running belt, and we'll link to, there's a Wirecutter review of best running belts because of course there is. So we will link to that in the show notes.
I did want to mention what I use for walking, which is a Cotopaxi fanny pack, essentially. It's a fanny pack. Maybe I think they might have a cooler name for it, but it's a fanny pack. And it's like, we go on little weekend hikes with our kids and it's great. I can carry everything I need in it. And I can even shove a smaller water bottle into it. And it's really comfortable. So
I have
a big old
Columbia fanny pack that also fits a small water bottle. Look, I love a fanny pack.
We are really leaning into the 40s here.
We are really cool is what I think you meant to say.
Yeah, yeah, by the horse's tail. That
yep.
is the coolest thing we've ever said.
Yep.
Well,
all right.
This has been fun.
Always. Always a hoot.
It truly has. It has been very fun. Listeners, we appreciate you. Dory, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Kate.
Well, thank you so much. And we will talk to you later.
We will. Bye. We'll